Welcome Home, a podcast for veterans, about veterans, by veterans, is a project of Willing Warriors and the Warrior Retreat at Bull Run.
Good morning. I'm your host, Larry Ziliox, Director of Culinary Services here at the Warrior Retreat at Bull Run. And today, our guest is the American Legion National Commander, Daniel C. Affer. I hope I'm saying that right. And we are going to take some time this morning to talk about the American Legion's legislative agenda for 2024. So I'm really excited about this. Commander, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here, Larry. It's a pleasure.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time today. I know that you're busy. You're here in Washington, D.C. for the Washington Conference, which is a very important event for the Legion. It brings members to D.C., not only for the conference, but then to be able to lobby their representatives and senators. And so I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're really busy.
No problem. So it's always good to get the message out. So
yeah,
good to be here.
And so you are with Post 157, which is in Horicon, Wisconsin. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you did. Very good. Yeah, oh. Horicon. Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm a little familiar with Wisconsin. I grew up in Illinois, and we went to Wisconsin to drink. Because Illinois was 21 and Wisconsin was 18, and when we went fishing up there a lot, and I think you're closer to Milwaukee than Madison, is that right?
It's about almost the same distance, yeah, roughly. So, but yes, yeah, right there, yep.
Beautiful country. And your background is you were a chaplain in the Navy.
Correct.
And are you still in the reserve?
No. My time was from 1995. I was commissioned and officially then was discharged in 2005. What I was basically doing is I plugged into to a post. I started my journey there. I'm glad I did. Now I'm here.
Great.
Representing the whole family as well, which is just a tad over 3 million.
Wow. 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 I didn't know there were that many members. That's amazing.
Yes, with our auxiliary and our sons and everybody together, it's a great family.
Wow, that is great. So let's get into it and talk a little bit about the legislative agenda for 2024. What do you see as your priorities? Now, I know that there's a number of issues that the Legion wants to concentrate on, but if you were to talk about one or two of what you believe are the top ones, what do you see those as?
Well, the big one has to be, it's under one of our pillars, and that's the VA&R, but the big one is dealing with suicide prevention.
Right.
And connecting that with mental health. That is the big, I say it this way, it's not a campaign, it's not even an initiative, but really a mission of ours. And we have entitled that Be the One.
Right.
You know, it's almost as on my journey, you know, as I was introducing, you know, you were introducing me and things like that, and from Wisconsin and everything, I will be home within my year term, just a tad over 2 weeks out of the whole year. That's it.
Wow.
I am on the road. I am plugging in. I'm here now at DC. But I have been literally, Larry, I have been around the world. I have been in Vietnam, Taiwan, South Korea, Hawaii, circling back, obviously, to the States.
Mm-hmm.
But and plugging into each department, which is every state, plus five other departments worldwide. But it's not a tour. I'm not visiting just to tour and, you know, see the sights. I'm there for mission. I'm there for purpose. And going here, that what I'm talking to our fellow veterans and others, they're saying, you know, even suicide is almost like a national problem. And in some cases, I could even say a world problem.
Sure.
I think people are just losing their hope, you know, especially it's seen when people's our fellow veterans transition out. They lose that family.
Yeah.
And the walls come up, And they have that scale of life. Should I keep pressing forward? Should I push? Or should I check out, kind of thing? And we're saying, as a family, a powerful family, don't think the latter. Join us. There's always a purpose, especially for you, for all those thinking about maybe taking their life. Because, man, we have so many things, and it's not just this focus mission, but I don't want fellow veterans who served our country and coming back home to then take their life. I want us to serve and make life better for our veterans and their family.
Yeah.
So that's one of our very top legislative priorities. Obviously, we understand it's an ambitious goal when we talk about ending it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, just think, we can go to the moon, we can travel space, we can, you know, have this cure, have that medicine. You know, we're Americans.
Yeah.
I think we can make a major difference in the lives of our fellow veterans. And the American Legion, we want to take the lead on this. We want to.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a brilliant campaign, Be the One. And it's really simple. Just be the one that reaches out to a buddy, somebody you served with, somebody you know through the post, or just you see at the grocery store. Be the one that reaches out and says, how are you doing? And, you know, what do you need help with? And come on and join the post. Or you need a ride. Do you need a ride to a medical appointment? What do you need? You know, being the one means just helping out however you can. And I just think it's an awesome campaign. It's one of our core missions at the Warrior Retreat is to surreptitiously convince the warrior their family is not better off without them. After sometimes years of treatment at Walter Reed or Fort Belvoir, they come to us in very dark places. And it's always our goal to say, hey, look at, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Look at your family. They're in this with you because they love you. And, you know, anything we can do to put a pause in that process, I think, saves lives. One of the things that I did have a question about, and I'm not sure, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but what Congress can do, I'm looking at the legislative background that's on the webpage, and one of the things that you highlighted in there is under what can Congress do is require the VA to include cases of self-injury in deaths. And I'm a little bit concerned about that because it includes categories like accidental overdose. I don't think there's anything accidental about it. I mean, the fentanyl issue that we have, it's idiot drug dealers who are murdering their clients. So I'm a little bit leery about including those statistics in what we refer to is typically anywhere between 17 and based on research from the America's Warrior Project, 24 veteran-related suicides a day, that it boosts it to, you know, 44 if you include things like that. So could you give us a little bit of understanding of why you guys believe that that's important?
Well, definitely. When I'm on the road, I talk exactly about that, Larry. I mean, and that goes back to our Be the One, you know. So we have the 17, the 18, the 22 is probably most ingrained. But with those reports in other universities, yes, because it's reported incorrectly as an accident versus really the suicide. Or, you know, and even personally talking with families and some veterans that said, if I had to do this, I would make it look like an accident. That's testimony stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say whether it's 44 or up to even as high as 50, we say that one is way too many.
Okay.
And so what can Congress do? Well, they can be the one to help us in this situation. Again, having access to the mental health care. This goes back a few years when I was actually not in my position now, but when I was department commander and touring actually the VAs, which I still do today, but there were alternative therapies as well. And I'll never forget one was a Marine. And what he had is he would switch on a dime every time he smelled diesel gas. Weird, right?
Yeah.
And And he wanted to hurt people because it brought back memories of pain and anger. And his wife was afraid of that. Here, he went, an alternative therapy was this, aromatherapy.
Hmm.
And it changed his life. It wasn't pills. It wasn't saying he was something, you know, that he was wrong or you know, that he had some kind of disorder or wrong. It's that, hey, we're going to treat you and help you. And it was this way, aromatherapy. And this guy is still alive today and very thankful that it wasn't just drugs or a pill and pushed off.
Yeah.
People took care of him. So that is kind of the basis when we talk about what can Congress do.
Sure. And I'd like to spend a couple of minutes just talking about the PAC Act. And
yes.
What's your sense of how well the VA is dealing with the huge workload that they experience because of the PAC Act? Do you have any feedback from members? You have a sense of, is it going as expected? Is it way behind? What's your feelings on that?
Well, with the PACT Act, now we're dealing with, you know, the implementation and still looking at oversight. So obviously we are proud to see this legislation, you know, that we had as a priority pass and become law. And this was the pushback. Because they were saying, how are we going to implement this? This is going to be a cluster kind of thing. But it was the right thing to do. So I know there has to be a sense of patience with this. But overall, on my road, I have never heard anybody say that, you know, it's so bad. Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, I have been to a lot of states. I have seen a lot of people. I mean, shaking hands. I mean, made talks. I had people come up to me and question, you know, have I heard anything? And I'm like, no, I heard this. And dealing with this, with the PACT Act, just asking what is the care? And everybody, everywhere I go, they say that care is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really good. Now, granted, I have the other issues, you know, like IT stuff. You know, calling, phone calls, stuff like that, parking issues, you know, those are the things, but not this. And yes, there does take, you know, currently, I'm just kind of looking at my facts here, that it takes the VA an average of 157 days to complete a PACT Act-related claim. I mean, they're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did talk to the secretary last year on these things, and they are truly committed. McDonough is outstanding,
mm-hmm.
and I truly believe when he says something and makes a commitment that his heart is there, and he's going to make sure there's no loopholes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that. And I'm speaking for my fellow veterans on this as well, the ones that are in our organization. Now we can always try to you know, with the oversight. Implementation, we always want to get better, right?
Yeah.
And I also look at this. How do we know these numbers? We, meaning the VA, we keep track. I mean, they have the TV screens and the boards right in the office. Sitting there, how much waiting time, who's on the phone and all this. Maybe sometimes I think our listeners and others that will hear this program, let's put it in comparison with the public. I don't see the screens of wait times and how long it takes to get an appointment. And I'm not trying to demonize in public sector of hospitals. I still think America has the greatest healthcare in the world, obviously.
Right.
But I have personal examples of people, my loved ones. So I'm getting very personal on this. Sitting in a waiting room waiting for somebody for hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that is unacceptable. But you don't get those reports or see them. So for me and from my constituents, if you want to call them, my family members, they told me The care is outstanding, and that, to me, is number one. The others, we can fix, and we can go to our legislature and try to improve that implementation.
You know,
that makes sense, Larry?
It does, and 157 days is really good. I remember my initial claim took a year. So that's considering, you know, we're talking about millions of additional possible claims when the act went through, and because of the exposure, and, you know, I'm sure they're probably nearing 500,000 claims already. So I think that time is really good. The other issues that you speak about, money is what fixes them. And it's real simple. You know, if you need more parking, you need more parking lot. You want to put more parking lot in, you need more money. And that's a Congress thing. And that's
correct.
That is why it's so important for the Legion to be at a conference in Washington, D.C. this week. Regular listeners will hear me all the time say, if you're a veteran, you need to belong to a veteran service organization. Now, I know that you might not want to go down to the local post and sit at the bar and listen to some old veterans who are deaf shout stories at each other, but that's not really the reason you join. The reason you join is because every time you see something on the news about a congressional hearing that involves veteran issues, it's the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV, the Iraqi Afghanistan veterans, organizations like those that are up there testifying and pushing for legislation on your behalf. So that's what your dues go to fund. And you don't ever have to set foot in a VFW or an American Legion post, but you do have to join, because these are the folks that are representing you, and it's because of them that the PAC Act exists. It's because of them that a number of laws get pushed through that are providing much better care in the last 10 years than veterans had seen in the previous 40. So I would encourage everybody to join the American Legion. I'm a member of Post 1799 here in Haymarket. It's great. We have a good time. I will admit that I'm at 66, I'm one of the youngest people, but we can change that. And I know why. I know why veterans don't tend to join. They used to join to find that tribe, the thing that they missed from their time in service. And today they're finding it online on various social media platforms. And not only are they finding it with other veterans, but because you can be on that platform from anywhere in the world, they're actually finding it with the very same people that they served with. So I get that.
Correct.
But when you look at the American Legion and you look at all the programs that they have, Be the One, caregiver programs, the legislation and agenda, the legislative agenda, that's why you join. And I want to direct people to the webpage. It's legion.org, and it is just full of resources. And there's also a way for you to join there as well. Or you can just look up and join your local post. If you don't want to join, okay, go to the webpage anyway. And when you get there, you look up in the right-hand corner, you'll see a button that says donate. Make a donation. Click on it. It took me less than a minute. I just did it, filled out the name, the credit card information. It's not hard, but your money is so important to getting these benefits for you and to keeping an eye on the VA, to pushing Congress to do what they need to do, which is allocate resources, funds. I really hope that more and more younger veterans start to look at the American Legion, the VFW, DAV in a different way, because the work that you all are doing, Commander, is just amazing.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that, Larry. Just go to our website. You know, I would love anybody who's listening, is not a member, to join. I'm going to be partial. Join us, you know, of course. But, you know, you look back at the history. You know, if anybody used the GI Bill, a lot of people don't know this on my travels. You know where that came from? It didn't just fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
It wasn't by a Senate or anything. It was by us. We have the actual document in our third floor of our national headquarters in a case displayed. The original implementation of that, the paper and all those things.
Wow.
We have it. We were the driving force when others did not support it. They thought they were going to bankrupt our whole country because of it. And in a good way, it made the middle class, for the first time, people could go to school. I mean, actually, universities would have never survived if it wasn't for that bill.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go on and on, but I know that was in the past. But it's still relevant today. People are still using it today. So it would be just almost like a thank offering in a sense by joining. And you're 100% right, Larry. You can plug in any which way you want. You can breathe the American Legion. Or you can say, hey, I'm just going to be a member, you know, on paper per se. But you know something? We're a unique organization, a unique family. By doing that, You're active. And from that, I mean, there's so many things. When we step up to the plate, because in 3 days, I think that continuing resolution, you know, for funding the government is ending.
Mm-hmm.
So we're prepped, because if the funding doesn't continue, guess who gets affected? Now, it can be all branches of the military. They probably will pass something to keep the military going. But you know who falls under that? The Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Because the Coast Guard's not under DOD. And we did this for Coast Guard in 2019 when they closed, right at the worst time, over Christmas and into the new year. And it was our organization, again, our family, that stepped up to the plate and gave them a grant. All these Coast Guard members being affected without pay. We gave them a $1.4 million grant.
Mm.
Who else did that?
Yeah.
Nobody hears about those things. We're constantly involved in the military quality of life as well. So it's just not for, you know, healthcare issues or people who are now, you know, as we get kind of criticized, or we're older. Mm. Well, those are the people you're seeing because they have time. Yeah. To volunteer, yeah. Right? But we still have tons and tons of young people as well. But even if you are still active, we're fighting for you. And if you're still active, you can still join. It's not just for people with gray hair. It's for all.
Yeah.
One day of active duty and you can be a member of the American Legion. But my whole point is the quality of life issues. And we definitely, Congress has even... mentioned this, saying that without a doubt, the American Legion is definitely the leader on this, because it's nowhere to be found anywhere else. But we're looking at those quality of life improvements. You know, is housing appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a quality of health care, you know, the reasonably priced commissary. What about a child care services? All these things, you know, that we kind of take for granted. It's coming out. You know, the only branch that made their recruiting numbers barely was the Marine.
Yeah.
Well, who in the world is going to join? You know, I know the love of country. I know patriotism and all that stuff. But, I mean, are you encouraged to go on food stamp to serve your country?
Yeah.
Who would do that? So those are some big issues. We're not doing it for free, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, again... These are the top priorities as well for us, and we're passionate about.
Yeah.
And just think, without us, without a strong VSO like the American Legion, guess what's going to happen? It's going to fall on deaf ears. You know, you kind of alluded to it, Larry. Money and numbers make things happen.
That's right? It. That's it. Yeah. Our listeners, I know they're going to donate. They're going to join up. Also reach out to your elected representatives and say, you know, hey, these are some of the priorities that the Legion has. You need to take a look at it. What's your position on these things? Ask and let them know that, you know, you're a veteran. who voted for them, you're in the community, and you want them to support these issues. So, Commander, I just want to thank you for taking the time. I know how busy you are, especially right now in D.C. with the conference going on. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to go over this with us. And good luck with the rest of the conference.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
For our listeners, we'll have another episode next Monday morning at 0500. I like to get up early and listen to podcasts. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can reach us at podcast@willingwarriors.org. Until then, thanks for listening.
The Welcome Home Podcast is brought to you by Willing Warriors, a nonprofit organization serving active duty service members and veterans since 2012. To learn more, please visit our webpage at willingwarriors.org.